have a Savior who loves us, and He's everything. And I hope and pray that you know Him. And I hope and pray that you know more of Him. I want us to take our Bible today, and we're turning to the book of Ephesians today as we look in chapter number 1. We saw there last time the work of the Lord, the Apostle Paul writing to the believers in Ephesus concerning the things of God. And of course, in the first few verses, Paul is praising the Lord for all that he's done. And we want to think about that. I titled the message last time, Let's Get Going. And of course, that was kind of a pep rally in a sense as we look into a new year, thinking about what the Lord has done for us and what He wants us to do. But I want us to look at this morning as we pick up in the book of Ephesians, how to get going. How to get going. You know, it's one thing to get all charged up and get all hyped up, if you would, sometime about things. But if you never engage, or you never apply, or you never put to use those things, what good is it? And I think we see a lot of that in today's world, especially in Christianity. We see people who get all hyped up about something, and this is where everything's going, and then the first thing you know, they're out of steam, or they fell out or fell off or whatever it was. And what was the problem? That's the thing I'd like for us to think about today. How do we get going, and how do we keep going and stay with it? That's what we're looking for. That's what the Lord's looking for. As we, again, in Ephesians chapter number 1, I'm just going to kind of brush over some of the verses we looked at before. We looked at 1 down through 14, and Paul was praising the Lord, and I want us to again think about these things, and then we'll go further. In verse number 3, he said there, Blessed be the God of our Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Think about that. God has blessed you. I'm talking about the believer. If you're not a believer, you're not blessed of God. It wouldn't be fair to God to bless the world, if you would, and not bless His own children. So we are blessed. I'm talking about born-again believers. And God wants to bless all. All that will come to Him can be blessed by the Lord. So, but Paul's reminding these believers that He hath blessed us. In verse number 4, he said, He hath chosen us. He did the choosing of you and of me and whosoever will. God initiates that movement. He has already sent His Son to the cross. Jesus willingly went to the cross, being sent of the Father. Before the world was spoken into existence, He's the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, those two, the Heavenly Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, all of those three had come together for the purpose of mankind to be able to have fellowship with this being that God is going to create. And that's what God wants to do, is to have fellowship with mankind. He knew that mankind would fall. He would give him a free will. And He knew that man would choose to go away from God. And yet He loved man. He's blessed man that comes back to Him. He's chosen us, the believers. That's not a hard thing. He predestinated us in verse number 5. You mean we were predestinated that we couldn't do anything about it? No, He chose us, and we responded to the gospel. It was predetermined that the whosoever would come, the whosoever will, that all that will come, will come. And it's open, the way is open for all. So He goes on to say, He having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. In other words, we could say He adopted us by Jesus Christ. And then again, He goes further, and He says in verse number 10, verse number 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He did that. The Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of the Lord, He made us acceptable unto God. In verse 7, in whom we have redemption, He redeemed us, we could say, through His blood. The forgiveness of sins, He forgave us according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mysteries. In other words, He has revealed that to us. Or could I say He is revealing? He has revealed it, but He, as we see further, He is continuing to reveal the mysteries of God to you and to me. In other words, this is what the Lord has done for us. This is His doing, but we must receive it. Verse 10, in that this dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things. We might say that He's going to gather us together with all things in Christ. We talk about the millennial reign when Christ will reign on this earth and the curse of sin will be removed and we'll be there with Him. And we'll see this and then we'll go into the eternal state forever, being with the Lord. But all of this is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the will of the Father, and of course the witness of the Holy Spirit we'll see in just a moment. So He's doing this, in whom also we have an inheritance. In being gathered in Him, He has something for us, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed. So He sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. And again, that's the witness of the Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption. So we've got the down payment, so to speak, of that. We know what we have, a little taste of glory in the Holy Spirit until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of His glory. So we see these things, and Paul is praising the Lord for this. Now, he's writing to believers in Ephesus, and I want you to think about that. These are people that he's had opportunity to lead to the Lord. He taught there for 3 years. Timothy went to Ephesus. He was a pastor there at some point. The Apostle John went to Ephesus. These believers now have had a witness of the Lord. They've heard His word. They understand what the Holy Spirit is. But He's encouraging them, and He's praising the Lord about how that God has worked. And this is the same for you and for me. God hasn't changed, and His work hasn't changed. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to hear the word of God that's been preserved for us. God has so graciously preserved His word. Folks, we are blessed to have a copy of God's word, whether you have it on your phone or what. You've got a copy of God's word, and you can read it. We are blessed for that. There are people in the world who do not have that. I was blessed this week. Dr. Madasu, one of the missionaries that we support in Saipan, he was able to meet with another pastor that he has met there who is in with the militant people. And he met with this pastor this week. He sent me a couple of pictures where he was able to give him 5 copies of the Word of God. 5 copies. He had 2 other friend pastors with him. Pastor Israel did. He gave each one of them 5 copies. 5 copies per church. 5 copies. How many copies of the Word of God do we have put away somewhere? Think how blessed we are. We have a copy of His Word. And I want us to think about that, because it is His Word that reveals the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to us. So having praised the Lord for what He has done, now Paul prays for these people in verse 15 and following. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So what we find now is that the Apostle Paul, again, reminds them of what God has done. And now he is thankful. He's blessing the Lord for what he has heard of these believers, their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love. In other words, their lifestyle that Paul was getting reports of, it increased his faith. It blessed him to know that these people didn't just take the gospel, receive the gospel, and do nothing with it. But he sees in this people the same that you and I see today, where people have received the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have been saved. They are saved. And there's a point where they say, well, I was saved at a certain age or whatever. And they have demonstrated love for the saints. They've demonstrated in their lifestyle that they belong to the Lord, but they're not going forward. And Paul is praying for this, and this is what he says. He is, since he heard of their faith, that's a wonderful thing. So every once in a while we'll hear along the way, did you hear about so-and-so, they got saved? And that, but folks, I want to say it's a wonderful thing. When you hear of someone that you wondered about, someone that you weren't certain of, maybe someone that you ran with at one time in your life, and your paths don't cross anymore, you haven't seen them in years, and since that time when you were maybe growing up with them, and now that you're saved, and you ever wonder about people like that, I do all the time. I wonder about so-and-so. I wonder if they're saved. I wonder if they know the Lord. I hope and pray they do, because I could say a lot of people that I ran with didn't know the Lord, and I didn't know the Lord. But I know the Lord now, and my heart and concern is for winning people to the Lord. Maybe someplace else, someone, God's got someone working in that area. We may not have seen them. And then again, we hear sometimes, did you hear about so-and-so? They got saved, and it's a blessing to know they got saved. We say, praise the Lord. And not only that, but maybe we'll hear a report. You know, they're serving the Lord now. They're in the church. They're doing thus, and it just blesses your heart. And then later I've had this happen. I've met someone from a different area, and I said, have you ever met so-and-so? Oh, yeah. I said, well, how are they doing? I said, I heard they got saved several years ago. And they say, yeah, they got saved, but they're not in church. They've been out of church. And in your hearts, where Paul is, he's praying for them. What happened? Folks, God will never do you wrong. God will never do you wrong. He's our Heavenly Father. We just saw he's adopted us. He's blessed us. He's saved us. He's done everything that's possible. Now it's time for us to do something. What happens when people fall away from the Lord? And this is what Paul is praying, that they will not. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He's constantly thinking of them and thanking God for them. In verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Well, you know, when people get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in. He indwells the believer. That's part of the salvation process. Once we respond to faith, by faith in the message that we hear, the Holy Spirit draws us to God. We hear the Word of God, and we respond to it in faith, and we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And is that enough? For some, it seems to be. Oh, I'm saved now. I'm glad I'm saved, and I've got that taken care of, and nothing changes about their life. What do you mean? Well, they don't get involved. They don't continue in the race. That's what I said before. They may get all charged up and about going, but they don't know how to go. What's next? And I'll say this, to the shame of pastors, Brother Dan. Brother Dan's with us this morning. Glad to have you, brother. Good to have your family. He pastors. He knows what I'm speaking of. To the shame of the pastors, they have won people to the Lord. Brother Steve pastored another one. Won people to the Lord, but never discipled them. Well, now we know, as pastors, we can't force anyone to do anything. But we do know what they need to do, right? And that is, they need to grow. They need to be nurtured in the Lord. They are saved, yes, with a bigger target on their back. Satan was, he was having his heyday with them, but he knew he had them, so he spent time on others. Well, now he knows he doesn't have them. And they're saved, weak in faith, and he's after them. Is it real? Do you feel like you're saved? Are you living like it? Look at you. You say you're saved, and look what you're doing. And they're just discouraged, and they don't grow. And again, they come along maybe years later, and hear someone preaching the gospel, and supposedly get saved again. I'd like to ask a question. If you're saved, how many times does it take to be saved? One time. Either he saved you or he did not save you. And you need to maybe check that out. Examine yourself, Paul said to those in Corinth, and see, is your faith real? Do you know that if you were to die, that you're going to heaven? Or is that something that you're hoping for? You ought to know in your heart if you're saved. You ought to have the assurance in your heart that if I were to drop dead right now, I'm going to heaven. I may not have been living like a believer, but I know when I got saved, I know that he saved me. And if we know that and we're not living, then we need to get forward, moving forward with the Lord. So we need to disciple believers. We need to bring them to the understanding of faith in Christ, salvation. Then we need to follow up in them understanding who they are in the Lord and start growing in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is what Paul is praying for them. He ceased not to give prayer and for these people. And he was praying to the God, Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now that word spirit is not a capital S in reference to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells a believer when he's born again. But you and I have a spirit. We know we talk about the Adamic nature and the old man and the old spirit being against God, but we have a spirit of our attitude, who we are. You say, well, I'm in Christ. Yes, you're saved. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, and he will control you if you allow him. We still have a free will. That free will that God gave us allowed us to decide to receive Christ or say no. We still have that free will to say yes to the things of God and walk with the Holy Spirit and walk in the light of his word or say no. And in this spirit, it's our attitude. Attitude's everything, right? You understand what I'm saying? Some people have a bad attitude about everything. You say it's just a bad attitude. You try to cope with them about whatever and they don't want to hear it. Well, we need to have an attitude that's willing to receive the things of God, not only the Spirit of God, but the Spirit within us having an attitude, and this is what Paul's praying for, that the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. See, we have to, again, we're saved, but it's our attitude. Do we want to grow in the Lord? Do you want to know the riches of the glory of the Lord? Do you want to tap into that? Why not? I can't understand how someone who were to see themselves heading to hell and eternity in torment can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and not want to serve him and not want to have him living inside of them. You're going to live in an eternal state one day in the presence of the Lord, being like the Lord forever, but yet in the free will and the spirit, the attitude's not right now. I don't want to do that. I don't want him to control my life. Why not? Why not? Why not grow in the wisdom and the nurture and the understanding and the revelation of God? This is what Paul is praying for. And folks, by the way, this is what we should be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ who aren't serving. We need to pray that the Lord would help us to win others to Christ, but we need to pray for those that God puts on our hearts that are not walking with the Lord. We know that they're saved. We've heard testimony. We've seen the love of the Lord, but they're not walking with the Lord today. We need to be praying for those people. We need to pray that God would open their minds and their hearts to the revelation of His Word, that their spirit would be willing to receive the wisdom and revelation of God's Word. Many people say, well, I started reading the Bible, but I don't understand it. I've said this before. Keep reading. Just keep reading. Have you ever bought something and got the manual out? When oftentimes I'm telling on myself, I like to look at the pictures. How about you guys? I think men do. I think men, I like it. I said, where's the, it didn't have a picture on the box. My wife said, no. I said, I like to look at the picture. I can look at the picture and I can put this thing together. But then sometimes it's not just exactly right. And then she says, why didn't you read the instructions? I said, where are they? First thing I do is take the instruction out and throw them away. Ladies, you know that. And I want to see the picture. Well, this is the way it is with the things of God. We've got to get involved. We've got to get into His Word. And I understand many people say, I don't understand. Well, keep reading anyway. You'll understand. There'll be something there that will quicken your mind, and that's the way the Holy Spirit. But to begin with, you've got to have the spirit or the attitude of wanting to know. You can't have an attitude of, I know everything. You've got to have and be willing to want to know. And this is what He's saying, that God may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened in verse 18. Paul wants them to be where he is. And that's the desire of my heart. I want you to be at least where I am, and I want you to be where Jesus is. I'm not where I need to be, but I'm willing to go. How about you? Are we willing to go? And I want to encourage you. There are people, as again, some people can look at the box and put it together. They don't need the picture or the other. And that's not to say, well, good for them. It's to say, well, let's encourage them to go further. Let's get with it, as I said. And how to do that? Have the Spirit. The Spirit and receiving wisdom and revelation. There are things in the Word of God that we won't understand till we get home to glory one day. It'll be kind of sort of, you remember the Lord was with the disciples and He taught them certain things. Well, He taught them a lot. He showed them things through miracles. And it was constantly reminding them of going to Jerusalem in 3 days, the Son's going to be raised again. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it. And then, of course, after He died and when the Holy Spirit came, then those things that He had taught, they begin to come to mind. They begin to understand. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. Just keep reading, and you'll see how the Holy Spirit works. And then you'll say, this is what He meant over there. And this is what this means over in this section. By the way, don't throw out the Old Testament. The Old Testament reveals the New Testament. And this is Jesus again said, talking about a beginning in the book of Moses with those two on the road to Emmaus. He began with the book of Moses, which is the first 5 books of the Bible. And He showed them, speaking with them, how this one, this Lamb of God, would come into this world and that He would redeem fallen mankind, that He would die as a Passover lamb, and that He would be raised again. And they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? What? When He talked with them along the way. That Word became alive. And this is what Paul is praying for them, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. So in this matter of the work of the Lord, these things are what we're looking at, that the eyes of understanding, that would say the heart, not just your physical eyes, but the understanding within your heart and your mind of the things of God. To understand and have the Holy Spirit reveal that to us, what does this mean? What does it mean when He says, furthermore, talking about the what is the hope of His calling? The hope of His calling. Well, God calls men to repentance. He calls men, and I say men, I'm talking about humanity, men and women, boys and girls. He calls us to salvation. That's the calling of God. He's working today. That's the work of the Holy Spirit today in the world. He's drawing men unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And how does he do that? Well, he does that, as I said, through his word. People who have seen Jesus, faith has been made real by hearing the word of God. Now, this word is active and alive. We begin to read the Bible and we begin to meditate on it, and it begins to stick with us. What did Jesus say? What does the Holy Spirit say? What does the Word of God say? And when we start talking with people about these things, we'll find ourselves quoting Scripture. We'll find ourselves telling them, this is what the Word of God says. And by the way, this Word is truth. It hasn't changed. And it will not change. Not one jot, one tittle, the Lord Jesus Christ said. And this Word now, and the calling of God, it's the call to salvation. Again, the hope of the calling. What is that hope? Well, when we come to salvation, or come to Christ in salvation, there's a hope of life eternal, or eternal life. There's a hope of something better than what we're living today. There's the hope of a new creation, a new heaven, a new earth. There's a hope that goes beyond the grave. Beyond death. That's the hope of the calling. Why do you think I need to be saved? Someone might ask. Why would I want to be saved? Well, for one thing, you know, what's the statistics of death? That someone said all 100 out of 100 died. What about after the fact of death? Then what? Then what are you going to do? See, and people don't want to face that. They don't. They often are not wanting to be confronted with the time down the road. Is just all about the here and now. But folks, you know as well as I do, time has a way of moving, doesn't it? We're moving into 2025. It doesn't seem like it was long ago when we were being afraid of Y2K in 2000, 25 years ago. Time moves. Time marches. What are you going to do at the end of it? What are you going to do? Well, I've got my plans made now. I'm going to do this and I'll be that, and I'm going to have this and I'll have that, and yes, and then what? What about the end of that? What about you talking about facing facts? Look at the situation down on Bourbon Street this week. Have you seen some of the pictures of those people that were there? Young people. One guy's in high school, makes me wonder, what's he doing out at that hour in the morning? But remember, this world's changed since you and I came along. Snuffed out, life gone. Where are they today? They're somewhere. Their soul is somewhere, and wherever that soul is today, destined for eternity. For the believer to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord based on the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. For the unbeliever separated from God until the great white throne judgment, and then separated eternally. Is it worth living 90 years, my sister? 90 years in Miss Glory. No, she gave her life to the Lord years ago. Thank God for that. Looking forward to the hope of the calling. See, there's a hope in this calling. You come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's what the Lord said. Have you had any problems since then? Sure you have, but one day, folks, that rest is going to be eternal. But he gives us the power to go through the trials that we go through on a daily basis. And that's the hope, again, of the calling. So we've got this, and Paul wants us to understand that. Understand as a believer. Have your eyes and your heart illumined or enlightened to that you may know what is the hope of the calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The riches of the glory of his inheritance. He didn't say what we're going to inherit. You and I can see in Scripture what we shall inherit one day as we go into the eternal state. We see a little glimpse of it, not all of it, but there's enough there to know that I can't wait to get there. And I don't know about you, and I think about the other loved ones that we have, to know one day that we're going to be with the Lord in His presence and we're going to see our loved ones, folks. Isn't that a wonderful thought? We're going to be with our loved ones forever. Never say goodbye again. We're going to see them forever. But He's speaking not of our inheritance, but His inheritance. He's going to inherit us. Think about that. What a trade. He sent His Son, and He came to this earth, and He shed His precious blood. He died on the cross, took our sins upon Him, the God, the Creator, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave His life so that you and I could have eternal life. And what we received is eternal life through faith in Him, and He receives us as the inheritance. Now, that doesn't sound like an even swap, but that's not how the Lord sees it. You remember, God created man. God's perfect. God's righteous. God is eternal. There never has been a time when He was not. And in His love and grace and mercy, He created this being called man. He created the angels, but He created this being called man so that He might have fellowship with Him. That's what God wants. Think about that this morning. The desire of God's heart is for you and I to have fellowship with Him. That's all He wants. He wants us to love Him, to revere Him, to walk with Him, to listen to Him, to talk with Him. That's what He created man for. And man failed. Through the fall of man, we're all sinners. And God, through salvation in Jesus Christ, the giving of His life, the giving of His Son, now we have a way back to the Father. And when we come back to Him, we are His inheritance. How do you think we ought to live for Him, folks? I had a black preacher tell me one time, says, I asked him, I said, what was you preaching on Sunday? And he said, well, I was preaching about a diamond in the rough. He said, I'm a diamond in the rough, but a diamond sure enough. Well, yeah, we are a diamond in the rough and a diamond sure enough. But our salvation and who we are in Christ now, we're a new creature. He has inherited us. Don't you think we ought to clean up a little bit? You know what I mean? I mean, a diamond, yeah, it may be in the rough and it's a diamond sure enough and all of these good things, but don't you think we ought to take care of what we're going to offer Him one day? He is going to inherit us. He is already. But while we're living in this earth until He takes us home, we are representing Him. Now, Paul commended them for their faith and for their love for the saints. What about the love for the unlovely? See, we by understanding who we are in Christ and understanding the wisdom of God and understanding that we are a diamond, but we ought to kind of shine ourselves up a little bit, hadn't we? We ought to give Him our very best when we get there. We ought to be prepared to know that we're going to meet the Lord one day, and when we do, we don't want to be ashamed. And this is what Paul is saying. He said in this, that we should know what is the hope of our calling. We should know what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. He's waiting for us to get there. He's waiting for us so that He can reward us for how we've lived since we've been a Christian. And then verse 19 he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe? He wants us to know that. He wants us to know the power that's available to us. Folks, there's so much more than, and I'm not taking this, don't misunderstand me, than simply being saved. Salvation is a gift of God. Thank God for salvation. But there's more to the power of God. Jesus had the power to heal. He had the power to give sight to the blind. But the power of God was demonstrated when he came out of the grave. The Father raised the Son. That's the kind of power that's available to us. Tell me about that. Can you and I raise anyone? No, we can't. But we can tell someone how to know the one who can. And that power is in what? It's within you. You are born again. You have the Holy Spirit. And you have the ability to tell what Christ has done for you. But you cannot tell that if you're not experiencing that. This is why he's praying for the wisdom and revelation. Get into the things of God. I can't say enough. Get into God's Word and let His Word get into you so that you can help equip others. We know what we need to do, but how are we going to do it? This is what we're saying. This is how we do it. We get into His Word. His Word gets into us. And then we begin to empower, if you would, to understand the power of the Lord. And when you do, and this is what He said, what is the greatness of the power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, and here He goes, when He raised Him from the dead. When He brought Him out of the grave, that was a demonstration of the power of God. And not only did He bring Him out of the grave, but He ascended into heaven. He raised Him and set Him at His right hand, the Lord Jesus. That's a place of authority. And this same power now is available to us. And this is what He goes on to say. Set Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He is above all things. That's the power of God. And the same power is available to the believer. But you won't understand it and you won't know it unless you read His Word. Unless you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. And as Apostle Paul, going back again, he's praying for these people to see that. Folks, we need to pray one for another. This is an encouraging thing, me and again, who are pastors here. You understand this. It's a blessing to open up something and give to those that you just received or you see now from the hand of God. I can't wait to share it with you. I'm excited about it. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have power in your life. There's no trial in this world. There's nothing in this earth that God doesn't already know is ahead of us, and He has the ability to help us. He wants the best for us. He's put all things under the feet of Him that's seated at the right hand of God. He's going to make His enemies a footstool. He's going to sit on the throne of David. And He says this in verse 22, and put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. In other words, He's the head of everything, and He's the head of the church, which is the body of Christ. And if the head says this is what we ought to do, folks, this is what we ought to do. And He's over the church. He wants to control your life in a good way, which is His body and the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. He wants the very best for you and the very best for me. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to see that. And He wants us to grow in what's right in the Lord. As we think about the work of the Lord, He's seated at the right hand of God. He intercedes for us. He knows what we need. He's able to give us the power to endure whatever the trial or temptation is that may come. He's able to guide us when we're not certain about what we ought to do. He created us. He knows that we're not all the same. We're saved in Christ, yes, one in Him. But we're different. We have different personalities. We have different abilities. And He knows how to meet that need that we have in our life. And He wants to do that. That's what the Lord Jesus died for, so that we can be a blessing to others. And that's what we see in this, in that we go forward, not knowing what we are to do, but also how we're to do it. How can we move this mountain. You remember what the Lord said? If you had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, one of the smallest seeds, if you had that much faith, you could say to this mountain, be moved. How strong is your faith? How much faith do you have? You have as much as you want. It's free. It's there. He said, you ask. And this is what we're looking at. Let's ask and grow in the Lord this year. Let's help others to grow in the Lord. Let's pray one for another that God would help us to see who we are in Christ. It's a shame that the devil has blinded the mind of many people that have come to know the Lord in salvation, but they've never grown. And we need to grow in the Lord. Let's stand together today as we think about the things of God. Are we where we ought to be? Let's pray one for another. God, help us to increase our faith. Help us, dear Lord, to increase our knowledge of who we are in Christ. I'm reminded as I'm praying, Lord, Paul said in that way in Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him. He wasn't there yet, and none of us are, Lord, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Lord, that we may know you. Help us to know you, Lord. Help us to surrender ourselves to you. Open our will up to you, Lord, that you'd have your will and way in our hearts, that we may know of you and know more of you. Father, if there's one here today that doesn't know you as the Lord and Savior, I pray today they would receive you. Lord, surrender themselves to you and repent of their sin and come to you for salvation. And I pray that all of us, Lord, would surrender our will and go forward in your will. For we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.